Well, good morning, Trailhead Church. I'm so thankful that you're allowing me to be in your living room, bedroom, any part of the house. And I've actually heard from multiple people that not only are we being watched in your house, but some people are going outside and watching. I've heard that people are watching safely somewhere at a park in a car. And this is just super cool to know that the gospel is being spread throughout the entire world in multiple locations. For instance, I know that we have people in Iowa that are watching, people in Brazil that are watching, Ohio, West Virginia, California, New York City, and that is something to really behold, to see where we live at in today's times, that the gospel is being spread right through the World Wide Web. And I'm so thankful that we get to be a part of this and that we're taking advantage of the tools that have been given to us to spread the gospel. So I'm excited. I wanted to bring you to our future home, our warehouse, and we are currently sitting in the lobby, this nice, beautiful, big lobby. As you can see behind me, we have taken the floors out from the second floor, exposing this large, grand cathedral of a lobby, and I'm just in love with this place. Knowing what God's going to do here and what His people are gathering in His name, what the possibilities are, it is endless. So I'm just so beyond thankful to be sitting here, right here. And I can't wait for someday, very, very soon, for all of you to join me in this room as well. I think there's going to be a lot of hugs, high fives, handshakes, you name it, it's going to happen right here for sure. Across the board, we've heard everyone say how we have desperately needed that gathering with one another. And I know we've been enjoying ourselves on Facebook Live. My wife and I, Anna, we've enjoyed it thoroughly, the comical side of this as well. But sharing the gospel and sharing God's truth has just been tremendous. So I'm so thankful that we've come together and done this. So that leads me into what's next, and that is this: first-time visitors. You know, usually in church we have a station outside that says, "Hey, come, stop by there, find out more information, meet a greeter. They're going to give you some information, and then you're going to come inside, and you know, we're not going to make you raise your hand and stand up and give us a testimony." And those were back in the 80s and 90s days. But what we are going to ask you to do right now is something very similar, I guess. And we're going to ask you to put in the chat box right now, "I'm new." And the reason is because we want to get in contact with you. We want to let you know more about our church, and we want to get to know a little bit more about you. So right now in the chat box, type in the words, "I'm new," and one of our first-time visitor greeters, they're going to reach out to you. And it's going to be awesome. This is the best way we can do it. You know, we want to take account of who you are so that we can be good stewards of what God's given us, so that we can point you to the well that never runs dry. And so that's the whole point of this. So right now, raise your hand and say, "I'm new." Okay, now it's time for offering. Now, some things have happened here recently, and this is a good thing. We've actually got a brand new church app. We've been wanting one of these for a really long time, and what a better time than right now, where we're socially distancing ourselves, but we're able to bring ourselves together through different venues, as we've pointed out earlier. But this is the new church app, our church app. So you can go to the whatever app store that you have through your mobile device and download Trailhead Church's app. And this is so awesome because inside of that app, you can give, and in giving, it's safe and secure, but make sure you go through the process and get it all set up. And then we also have a new way to text to give. If you already text to give this morning, it's okay. It's still going to come to us, but we have a new number we want you to dial. So you can text the word Trailhead to 888-364-GIVE, which is 888-364-4483. And just text the word Trailhead and then begin to follow the prompts. And that's the new way we're going to be texting to give. This all goes with that same portal within our app. So that's why we've changed it up a little bit. It's all safe and all secure. So I encourage you to give that way this morning. Also, you can go to trailhead.church and select the giving tab at the top as well. Now, inside of giving, man, we have seen some awesome things take place within our church, and the ways we've been able to reach into our communities and just through your generosity and giving has been tremendous. Now, you know what His word says about giving? It says in Proverbs chapter 3, 9 through 10, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. Then he will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with good wine. Guys, this is where we've got to stay faithful. We got to stay true to what God has told us. And you know what? We're going to see and reap a reward from that. God has promised us that when we give, when we present our best, our first fruits, our tithes, our offerings to him, when we are regular, sacrificial, and we don't give grudgingly, but we give cheerfully, you're going to see results. So I would encourage you to give this morning. Now, I'm going to pray over this offering. We're going to receive it, and then I'm going to start into the message. Here we go. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this time to give. God, what an honor it is to produce and give you our first fruits, our crops, our best of the best. God, I thank you, Lord Jesus, Lord, that we do not hold that back, but Lord, we freely give to you. And Lord, that we know, God, you are a better steward with our finances than we are. God, you are a provider. You've given it to us to begin with, God. And so we honor you with it, Lord, knowing, God, that you're going to take it and you're going to multiply it in so many different ways. And so, Lord, we thank you for this. Lord, we honor you. We worship you here this morning. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. All right, guys, this message I'm really excited to minister because it's been sitting on me since the Easter message, a little previous to that. And I thought, man, I want to talk about this. It's really important to me. And it's titled The Way. And here's why it's titled The Way. When I was a college pastor, man, I love college students. It's one of my favorite groups of young adults. And I say young adults, don't get offended. I know there's some non-traditional students out there, college students that may be in their 60s right now, but you're young too and you know it. But one of the reasons why I love college students is because I love asking the question, do you have a plan? You know, this is really a great thing. When I say there's three different questions within that, do you have a plan? That one question is, what do you want to be when you grow up? What do you want to be? What are you studying? What are you doing in your life? And another type of question to ask is please tell me what you want to do with your life. You know, that with your life is actually a better way of asking it. With your life gives value to who you are. It puts all the things that are necessary, life in existence, time, the preciousness of relationship, and it binds it together, it combines it all, and asks that question, what do you want to do with your life? What do you want to be when you grow up? What's your plan? And to ask a college student that is tremendous because you can see the wheels turning, these dreams, these visions, these processes they want to put into place. And it is so cool for me because I can start seeing it progress and they start showing you things. They start doing some things. There's some preparation involved in that as well. And I love seeing these individuals get their ducks in a row. You know, in the same question I ask for you, not just with college students, but I ask in your life. I love the famous evangelist / preacher / prophet / everything, Smith Wigglesworth. You know, he didn't start his ministry until he was in his 60s. And that was something that he had this moment of revelation with God. He woke up and realized, I've got to do the work of the Lord. Guys, in the same way, I ask you, what are you doing in the way of the Lord? What is God showing you? What is your plan? What is your process? What are you doing with your life? You know, I've had a lot of coaches in my life. I love sports. I love playing sports. I'm not necessarily a great watcher of sports, but I am a player of sports. Man, I love basketball. I love soccer. Soccer was one of my favorite sports to play. But basketball was the sport that I played my entire life. I grew up holding a ball. I played on a dirt court. I didn't have concrete. I was out in the middle of West By God, Virginia on a dirt court. And I remember dribbling and it hit a rock and it bounced left and right. But I'd go run and get the ball and just shoot again. I'd be out there for hours upon hours. But man, I love basketball. But you know, probably one of my favorite things about sports in general is actually the coach. I had some coaches in my life that were tremendous coaches. I had some funny coaches. I had some coaches that they've impressioned their part of their life onto me for the rest of my life. Some of my coaches, Coach D'Agostino I had in football, and I'll never forget that guy. I had G.B. Lewis, man, I love Coach G.B. You were tremendous in my life for multiple reasons. I love Coach Reeser. Man, Coach Reeser was probably one of my favorite. Everyone knows at my church I preach about him the most. And the reason why is because he just is one of these animated characters. He told me when I was in the 10th grade, he told me that, he asked me, he came up to me and he said, "Gresham, how many years have you played basketball?" And I told him 10. And he said, "Don't tell anybody." So then he ran away. Then he turned back and he came back over to me. He's this tall guy, 6'9", 6'10" of a guy. He played for West Virginia University. I believe his jersey's hanging in the rafters at West Virginia. And so he was everything to me because, he had success in the sports. I wanted to listen to him. But he turned quickly back around after he asked me how many years I played. And he said, "Gresham, pick a new sport. Something like volleyball or badminton." I remember being devastated in that moment. Like hopes and dreams just crushed, right? All my plans of success of being in the NBA were gone. And he was one of the greatest coaches, though. He talked in a way that was, it was awe-inspiring. And I ran into him this past summer, one of my favorite moments. I hadn't seen him since high school. And I ran into him, and he was at a grocery store. And I was behind him, and I said, "Coach Reeser." And he turned around, and he looked at me. I was with my dad. He knew my dad. He looked at my dad, and then he looked at me. And I go, "Josh Gresham." He says, "Right." He said, this is my favorite thing. He said, "Josh Gresham." He goes, "Were we good?" And he goes, "What year were we?" And I said, 1995. He says, "Were we good?" And he put his head down, and he looked up, and he goes, "No." I thought, oh, man. Talk here, I'm 39 at the time. I'm 40 now, but 39 years old. I thought, here, even 40 years old, I have romanticized about my basketball career that I'm some amazing basketball player. And sure enough, my idol of a coach just reminded me that we were not good. So it was so embarrassing. All of that to say is what do coaches do? Coaches bring the team together. They improve performance. I mean, that's what coaches do. I mean, that's why we go to them. Coaches, they give you instruction. And they give you instruction to follow as a team. And thirdly, they help to see the bigger picture. Coaches are important. They get you there, you know? So that leads me to number one point of today's sermon is get prepared. And the only way you're going to get prepared is you've got a coach. So every morning, I drive my kids to school, and I haven't driven my kids to school in a few weeks. But every morning, for years, I've been driving my kids to school, and I pass by the Elon University track. And over there in this field is the hammer throw field. And if you're not familiar with the hammer throw, Google it, look it up right now, YouTube. It's a big ball, and it's a string, and they have this handle, and they go around in the circle super fast, and they throw it. It's really quite a skill to watch. Well, every morning, I would assume this young female athlete, she gets there, I would say, probably about 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning, and I'm driving through there around about 7:45, and then once I drop my children off, I go back through, and it's about 8:15. So I'm not for sure when she stops. She's out there every single morning, and she's throwing this hammer throw, and it's really amazing to watch. Well, today, a couple days ago, I was driving through there, and here I'm thinking school's out. Why even practice? Because there is no track and field this year. It's been canceled. And sure enough, it's 7 in the morning, and she's out there throwing the hammer throw. And behind her at the fence is her coach. I am astounded by this. I've told my wife, I want to have lunch with her. I want all of my children at the table. I want to talk to her about her preparation. I want to talk to her about her determination. I mean, here's someone who has the reason to say, why do it now? Oh, I mean, why? I can start this back up later. She is still out there. She's still practicing. Talk about preparation. So that reminds me, and I mentioned this on Easter Sunday, but Matthew 25, verses 1 through 13. This is the story of the bridesmaids and their lamps. And you'll see that in this story, there's five that were foolish and five that were prepared. They were wise. Now, you can read the whole group of scriptures. It's verses 1 through 13. But if you're familiar with the story, then great. But if you're not, I'll paraphrase it really quickly. It comes down to the point they all fell asleep. The wise ones had extra oil. They had purchased extra oil in case of this, in this time delay of the groom coming. And so when they heard the groom was coming and it was near, they all jumped up. Well, the ones that were wise, they had enough oil. And they didn't need to go and buy more. Well, the other ones did. They had to leave. And when they finally arrived, after they had purchased more, you can see this in verse 11. This is what it says. Later, when the other five bridesmaids returned, they stood outside calling, "Lord, Lord, open the door for us." But he called back, "Believe me, I don't know you. So you too must keep watch, for you do not know the day or hour of my return." Jesus is giving us a warning here that we need to be ready, that we need to be prepared. There are moments that we have forgotten what the Word of God says, that our God is real, He's alive, He's talkative if you want to listen. He wants to be there, He wants to meet with you where you welcome Him into those places. Some people take this for granted. Some people just kind of, they wait for danger to take place before they go to God. Guys, we go to God all the time, 24/7, 365. We go to Him. We be in His presence. So when the Lord replies back, "Believe me, I don't know you," this shouldn't be a response that surprises us. We shouldn't be sitting here thinking, why would He say that? He's telling us right now to be prepared. He's telling us to come to Him, to seek Him, to find that truth in His love, His mercy, and His grace. He wants to pour that out on us. And He's telling us, do you guys, I've played basketball. I still think I have a good jump shot. But that doesn't mean that I can go down to the Charlotte Hornets Stadium, go into the basketball arena, sit behind the bench, and when the game begins, yell at the coach and say, "Hey, coach, put me in." I can't do that. Why? Because He doesn't know me. He doesn't know who I am. He doesn't know my skill set. But guys, am I even prepared to play for the Charlotte Hornets? Not even close. Not even close. So in this moment, when God says, "Hey, believe me, I don't know you," this shouldn't surprise us. Guys, there's a moment right now, I'm telling you, in this moment, as the messenger from Jesus Christ, you need to be prepared. You need to be ready right now, and you need to start seeking after the Lord's face in all that you do. So this comes to number two. This is the greatest thing about the way, what God's showing us, just like coaches, all right? It's seeing the bigger picture, seeing the bigger picture of things. That was the one thing I loved about my coaches, is that when they would call a timeout, they were watching the opponents. They were bringing in each player with their own skill set, and they were setting us over to the sideline, and they were saying, "All right, here, we've got a plan." The coach sees a bigger picture. He takes out that mini clipboard of the actual basketball court, right? And he draws out this bigger picture. You're gonna go here, you're gonna go over there, you're gonna slide, you're gonna pivot, and all of a sudden you have the open ability to shoot the ball into the basket. Guys, seeing the bigger picture is key. So that leads me to 1 Kings and chapter 18. Elijah, here you see this whole Mount Carmel kind of deal with the Baal, the prophets of Baal, and they're trying to create this huge sacrifice and the fire falling and all that. Well, after Elijah just kind of gives it to them correctly by actually offering the correct sacrifice to the correct and only God, he then begins to pray, and he prays for rain. He sends his servant out seven times to see the bigger picture, that God is doing something, that God is moving. Sure enough, he goes out seventh time, he sees a cloud. Now, guys, this cloud was what? The size of his hand. Guys, the bigger picture is that cloud was bigger than that man's hand. Guys, we know what perspective is, don't we? When you put your hand out in front of something, you can cover up a lot of items with the size of your hand that are much larger from a distance. Guys, that cloud was bigger than the man's hand. It's something that we need to realize, that God is bigger than who we are. God is bigger than what we're doing. God's doing something bigger than us. So in Isaiah 55, verses 8 through 9, "My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." Guys, there it is. Going to the Father brings revelation of the bigger picture. He's going to reveal these things to you. He's going to show you the bigger picture. He's going to draw out a plan. X's and O's, go over here, do this. There is a reason to this. There's a reason to what God's doing. Now, third point, final last point, obedience. Guys, I don't know about you. Some of you have played sports and some of you haven't. You may say, "I've never played sport in my entire life." And I'm sorry that this doesn't relate to you, but you know exactly what I'm talking about though. When it comes to obedience, when it comes to instruction, and we can go with our parents on this. When our parents have been a part of these circumstances, situation we're in right now, they have revelation and wisdom that we don't. And they can see a bigger picture to this. It's important that we go to those that are older than us, more mature than us, to seek wisdom. Seeking wisdom is actually, it's not foolish. Actually, the Word of God says that in seeking wisdom, it actually brings revelation, it brings truth, and it sets you free. And that's why it's important that we seek wisdom. But it comes from obedience. Do what the coach says. Do what God says. Man, I remember, I remember playing basketball, and I had point guards in my life. I was always a two guard, and I had point guards that would call a play. They'd one, and then they wouldn't even run it. They'd just go and shoot the ball. And before you know it, the coach would just pull them out. What are you doing? I had one point guard one time. We lost a game really badly, and the point guard came into the locker room. He goes, "Guys, if I would have made all my points, I would have had 66 points. I think he had maybe like 12. He was bragging about how many misses he had. We all just stopped and in awe looked at him thinking, how could you brag about almost could have, would have in a game that we lost? You weren't doing what the coach had asked you to do. You were just you were your own gun out there just shooting around. Guys, there's a team, and there's importance to know that the coach is actually bringing us together. He's giving us instruction for us to go out and execute the plan together. Not alone, not rogue, not your own idea of what you should do, but what God's calling us to do. So James chapter 5, going off the tales of Elijah here. James chapter 5, verse 17 says, "Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops." We can look at that story and be amazed because we think, man, gosh, that's Elijah, right? It's not us. That's Elijah. I can't do this. Yes, you can. Elijah was a human being. In the King James Version, he was a man just like you and me. He's just like us. There is no difference in who Elijah is. Because this is important for us to recognize. When we wake up in the morning, we are just like Elijah. But it's the obedience that separates the ones that are in accordance to the will of God and the ones who aren't, the ones who are part of the plan, the ones who are listening to the instruction that he's giving us. Guys, this is important. So God knows our potential. And when you're willing to do what he instructs, the possibilities are limitless. Limitless. He knows your potential. He knows what you can do. Man, I've only had maybe one time in all of my basketball career the winning shot type of moment. I can't even, I, pro, I, I can't remember if I made it, so probably I didn't make it, obviously, because it didn't stick. But I remember that moment where the coach calls the play and he says, Gresham, you're going to do this. The ball's going to come to you and you're going to shoot it. He knew the potential. He saw it in me. And I think I missed, obviously. but that's okay. But I know other players on my teams that they've been given that moment and they made the shot. The coach knows what you're capable of doing. And so in this same moment, God knows. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now all glory to God who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Guys, this is so awesome. God knows. But we have to recognize that God knows. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. This is in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 7 through 8. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Then you will have healing for your body and strength for your bones. Guys, I'm not going to be oblivious to recognize that things get hard. Things get hard. Things are very difficult, and this isn't easy. But you know what? We stand firm, we stand bold to the things of God. And we say, you know what? We're going to get prepared. We're going to get excited about the things of God. You know, when I read these 3 points to myself, I thought, how do they apply? Getting prepared, seeing the bigger picture, and obedience to the will of the Father, it enlightens me to have peace. It enlightens me and it gives me freedom to have joy. It gives me what I need to accomplish the will of the Father. So in this moment, my last scripture right here is it gets hard sometimes, but Romans chapter 8, verse 18, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Guys, just like that young hammer thrower female I see at the track every single morning. You know, it's not easy waking up that early. It's not that easy to be that dedicated and that consistent. It takes preparation. It takes prayer. It takes hardship. But in those moments, it's not weighing out the sufferings. It's not weighing out all of these things to have this pride of, oh goodness, you know, look at me, oh my. It's the knowing of the glory that will be revealed in us. It's the glory of knowing God's goodness, his strength, his peace. This is so beautiful to grab a hold of. So that's my encouragement to you today, is get prepared to listen to God's instructions, to be obedient, and be faithful of being faithful to our Lord and our Savior, that when he comes and he reveals himself to us, he knows who we are. So that's my encouragement for you here this morning. You know, if you don't know who Jesus is and you want to know him, I want to introduce you to him. Right now, you can reach out to our care and our prayer team. Right below, right now, there's an email you can email. I would love for you to email them and say the words, I want to know more about a relationship with Jesus Christ. So if that's you right now, email this right now. Right below me, you see the email. Email that and put in there, I want to know more about Jesus Christ. And we're going to reach out to you and we're going to introduce you to our Father in heaven. It's worth doing. I promise you that. All right, I'm going to pray, and we have a great children's service planned for you right now. So let's go right into this. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time this morning as we honor you. Lord, we give you praise. God, we give you glory. God, we thank you. Lord, you're the greatest coach of all. God, you know what's best. God, we thank you for your instruction. Lord, we thank you for the preparation. Lord, you're preparing us for great and wonderful things. And Lord, I count it all joy to be in fellowship with you. God, I thank you that you are showing us the way. Lord, we love you. Lord, we honor you. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.